when it comes to the word of God and the promises of God, the facts alone don't determine the result.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about how we should respond when God's plans outgrow our perceptions.
So the question you and I will always face in realizing God's promise is, are you going to believe the facts or are you going to believe the promise?
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. It's been said that facts speak for themselves. But today, Dr. Evans explains why the facts don't always tell us the whole story, as he shows us how God's promises can rewrite our reality. Let's join him as he begins.
We are looking at, through the course of this series, men and women who failed, who sinned, who blew it, whose actions or reactions were not consistent with God's character, whom God met in the midst of their issues, and whom God used. We've simply called it, It's Not Too Late. Today I want to talk from the life of one of the great women of the Bible. Her name is Sarah. And she gives us, I think, some very strident principles for our lives today. We're introduced to her in Genesis chapter 11 with a phrase. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 30, it says, Sarai was barren. She had no child. Sarah had a lot going for her, and I'll talk about in a second her change of name from Sarai to Sarah. But she had a lot going for her. She was married to a very successful man named Abram. The thing that caused Sarai to stand out was her beauty. The Bible declares that she was unusually beautiful. In fact, when we discover her here at the end of chapter 11, in the chapter 12, she is 65 years old. And yet the Bible declares that she was a knockout. In fact, you're going to see in a moment, at 90, men were still going crazy over her. This girl has got it going on. So Sarah had a lot going for her. But there was one major missing element in her life. It says she was barren. She had no child. For a Jewish woman not to have a child was almost a curse. With all the other great things about her life, her inability to conceive life, incubate life, and deliver new life was not there. Her capacity for bearing life was missing. Her physical reality today, yesterday, or in the context of the Old Testament, is a lot of folks' spiritual reality today. They may have a lot going for them, but the ability to house life isn't there. At 65 years old, God comes to Abraham, who's 75 years old, and that's very important. Don't lose track of the fact she's 65, because between chapters 12 and 21, I'm getting ready to cover 25 years. So we're getting ready to cover 25 years as we move through here. She comes to her husband, who's 10 years older than her, and he says in chapter 12, verse 2, Abram, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you, verse 2, and I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing, and I'm going to bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you, and you all, the families of the earth, will be blessed. God pronounces a blessing on Abraham. He says, through you, a blessing is going to come to the whole world, and I'm making a promise to you that I'm going to do something special in your life. And what I'm going to do is I am going to give you a son. Now he's 75 years old. His wife has never gotten pregnant. She's 65 years old. He says, but in the middle of your barrenness, I am going to give you life. In chapter 15, verse 2, Abram is confused. He says, now, I'm childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram says, you've given me no offspring. Verse 3, one born of my own heir. But the Lord says in verse 4, oh no, but one will come forth from your body, and he shall be your heir. Now, that's crazy. Because he's 75 and Sarah is 65. So it's too late to expect life. Because I've been lifeless for so long. Even though God says this, Sarah decides that evidently God does not understand biology. He's a little bit confused. He's lost contact with how this thing works. You've been barren all your life. You're 65 years old. Babies you do not have. All right. So she wants to do what many of us want to do. We want to help out God. We want to help him out because obviously he needs help because he's talking crazy. Now, there's probably not a person in here who has not from time to time thought God was talking crazy. So she says, let me help God out. Abraham, we have a maid. She can get pregnant. So probably what God means is you go into Hagar and you impregnate her and that will be the child because I can't have no baby. I'm too old to get pregnant. So in chapter 16, after having lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah, verse 3, took Hagar the Egyptian her maid and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. Too many people in the kitchen. So now we got a conflict brewing. Because, watch this, Sarah wanted to help out God. In order to help out God, watch this, she went to a human solution to bring about a supernatural promise. You didn't hear that. She used a human solution to bring about a supernatural promise. One of the reasons why many of us are not experiencing the promises of God. And by the way, there are over 8,000 of them in the Bible. There are over 8,000 promises of God in the Bible. But the reason why so many of us seem to not realize the promises of God is we resort to human solutions to help out God. To help God out because obviously God is not living in the real world where there's real barrenness and real lack of pregnancy and real life challenging situations. And so we revert to a human way to bring about the desired result of what we wish God would do in our lives based on the promises in his word or their application to us. So important is this issue with Sarah and Hagar that Paul picks this up in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 4. And this is what Paul says. We're going to come back here, but I want to read what Paul says in Galatians 4, verse 21. He says, tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons. One by the bondwoman and one by the free woman. But the one by the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. The son by the free woman was born through the promise. He goes on to say, verse 26, but Jerusalem is free. She is our mother, for it is written, rejoice, barren woman who doth not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for more numerous are the children of the desolate than the one who has a husband. And you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. But as at that time, he who was born according to the flesh persecuted who was born according to the spirit, so it is now. But what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be an heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of a bondwoman, but of a free woman. So the New Testament piggybacks on this story to tell us how we're to live our lives under the grace of God. And he says, don't live your life by the bondwoman. In other words, don't try to experience God with a Hagar mentality. In other words, don't try to help God out by using the flesh, your human approach to getting things done and realizing the promises and provisions of God in your life. Don't go Hagar on God. Now, it's easy to go Hagar on God when it doesn't look like God is making sense with what he says he's going to do, can do, and has the ability to do. So the New Testament picks this up as a way of thinking for our Christian lives. You cannot appeal to the flesh to gain the promises of the Spirit. So this creates chaos in the house. So God has to come back to Abraham another time and to explain to him, Abraham, that's not how this is going to work.
Dr. Evans will tell us more about the dangers of trying to fix our lives without the Lord's help when he continues our message in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about Tony's powerful book, Your Comeback, which digs deeper into the lives of biblical characters like Sarah, who in many ways are just like us, flawed and fragile, yet went on to do amazing things for God. This 200-plus page book provides encouragement for those who feel they're beyond God's reach and is a fantastic resource to share with your Bible study or small group. To thank you for your financial gift to Tony's ministry, we're pleased to offer a special limited-time package that includes the book, all 8 full-length audio messages from the current It's Not Too Late series, along with a DVD and companion Bible study guide. Just visit TonyEvans.org to get the details and make your donation. Or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where our resource team members are always available to assist you. Stay tuned for more from Dr. Evans right after this.
When prices go up, it's easy to get down. That's why the Tony Evans Training Center wants to lift your spirits. We're lowering our monthly fee. Take it from Danny, a TETC user. Danny says, I listen to every sermon and watch every video that Dr. Evans posts. He is changing the world one person at a time. Engage in over 50 courses with thoughtful content from Dr. Tony Evans. Visit TonyEvansTraining.org to subscribe today.
Chapter 17, verse 15. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. In the Bible, naming was more than just ascribing nomenclature. Naming had to do with creating a new identity. You name something because you wanted to create a new identity. The word Sarah means princess or noble woman. In other words, I'm going to make Sarah this noble princess, and she is going to, verse 16, be blessed. I'm going to give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. In other words, girl is going to be living large because I'm going to do something special with her. And you know what he's giving Sarah? Her destiny. Now, it doesn't look like that's a possible destiny because she can't get pregnant. But he says, I'm going to give her a destiny. I'm telling you that because I don't care how barren you are right now, God has a destiny for you because you have a name. In fact, you belong to the name above all names. There is a destiny. You say, well, how do I know if I've been barren without life for an extended period of time that I still have a destiny? Simple. You still here. You still here. And that only means God is not finished with you yet. There is a destiny. This princess who acted a fool a couple chapters back by going to the flesh to try to help her realize a promise in the spirit still has a destiny, and I'm going to make her name great. Well, Abraham hears this, verse 17. Stay with me now. Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old, and will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So Abraham says in verse 18, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. He didn't get it. Ishmael is the son of Hagar. He's still jumping back to this human approach. God says, no, Sarah gonna have a baby. Abraham says, God, you are confused. In case you stop counting, I'm 100. Sarah couldn't get pregnant when she was 65. This is 25 years later. She is now 90 years old. If girlfriend can't have a baby at 65 and never got pregnant in all of her adult years, as long as we've been married, and she is now 90 years old, why in the world would you think, God, that's a possibility now? Evidently, you really mean Ishmael. God says, no. Verse 19, Sarah, your wife, will bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. All right, pop over to chapter 18 now. That's read in your hearing. God says in verse 9, where is Sarah, your wife? He says, there in the tent. He says, I'm going to return to you at this time next year. Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now Sarah, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. Sarah was past childbearing, no more cycles. Sarah laughed to herself. Okay, now we got the laughing couple. Okay, now Abraham has already laughed. Sarah is now laughing. You got to be joking. Notice her explanation. I'm old. I'm advanced in age. I'm past childbearing. Shall I have pleasure of my Lord? Not only can I get pregnant, Abraham can't get that far. And so she laughed. But she laughs like we laugh when we hear things from God that doesn't make sense. It says she laughed to herself. I ain't gonna be in church laughing at God. But she laughed to herself. God says to her, why did you laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. He said, oh, yeah, you did. So whether you laugh aloud or whether you laugh silently, God knows you're laughing. And he raises the question, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Now watch this. There is a 25-year gap between the giving of the promise initially and the realization of the promise. There's a time gap. One of the major reasons why there is a time gap is the introduction of the flesh to try to mitigate, go around, or even bring about the promises of God. In other words, it's going to take 25 years for this promise to be realized, because the promise can only be realized when captured by faith. When the promise is not believed, the promise is automatically delayed. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So if you think God is crazy, or you think God is not practical or not living in the real world, because I'm old, it's too long. If you think God is unaware of the calendar, if you think God doesn't understand the facts. See, we got two things going here. We have the facts. I'm old, he cold. That's the facts. So we have the facts and we have the promise. And sometimes the facts cause us not to believe the promise. Because the facts are real. They're right in front of our face. I'm 100, she's 90. Those are the facts. This promise does not make sense in light of the facts. So the question you and I will always face in realizing God's promise is, are you going to believe the facts or are you going to believe the promise? Now, don't get wrong. It's not that the facts weren't true. We're not talking about a lie. The facts were true. She hadn't had a baby. She was past childbearing. She is 90 years old. People don't get pregnant. Those are the facts. But when it comes to the word of God and the promises of God, the facts alone don't determine the result. What this means is that if God still wants you to have, stay with me now, the promise, but you are stuck on the facts, he's got to create scenarios to move you from the facts to getting you to adopt the promise. God will always, or not always, but much of the time, and probably most of the time, delay your receiving of the promise until you're no longer tied to the facts. It was a 25-year gap because she allowed the flesh to control the promise because she was locked into the facts. It took Israel, you know, when Israel left Egypt and was on their way to the promised land, that's like an 11-day trip. It took them 40 years. It took them 40 years to make an 11-day trip. And the reason it took them 40 years is because they were locked into unbelief. In spite of the scenarios God took them through to teach them, I can do this. I opened up the Red Sea. That should be enough. Then I brought manna from on high, water out the rock, quail I rained down. I done all this stuff and you still in unbelief? All that did was delay the promise. So the question is, how long do you want to delay God coming through for you because you're tied into the facts? And you always hear it with Christians when they say, let's be practical. Let's be practical. In other words, these are the facts. Now, you never dismiss the facts. The facts are the facts. But you never let the facts override the promise. Because God is greater than the facts. He's greater than the specific things that you and I look at. He says, I am going to make her great. But right now, she's laughing. Hardy, hardy, har, har, har. You got to be joking, God. You have to be joking. And one of the reasons that we do not see God more is we're too tied to the facts. Don't ignore the facts, but you can't be locked into them, because if you're locked into the facts, you're locked into the natural. Only faith can move you to the supernatural.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the importance of trusting that God knows what he's doing, even when his plans don't seem to make sense to us. Before we go today, be sure to check out that featured resource package I mentioned earlier, Tony's powerful book, Your Comeback, and the 8-part audio collection and companion DVD and Bible study guide, It's Not Too Late. Don't forget, we'll send you this entire resource package as our gift when you make a contribution to support Tony's ministry here on this station and others like it around the world. We rely on the generous support of listeners like you to carry on this important work. Visit TonyEvans.org to make your request today. Or give us a phone call at 1-800-800-3222, where members of our resource team are available around the clock to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. Well, tomorrow, Dr. Evans will take a look at why the Lord's plans aren't limited by our perceptions and why God's will must be carried out God's way. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.